Welcome to Magic Towns Italy, where we help you find the right place to live, work, or retire in Italy. This free audio guide is part of our series exploring what life's really like across the country. If you're dreaming of a move or just curious, you're in the right place. Access to all audio guides and city profiles for the Veneto region is free of charge. Upgrade to a Magic Town subscription for full access to audio guides and Town Explorer access for more than 2,000 towns in Italy.
This is our Magic Towns Italy's guide to living on the Veneto side of Lake Garda, perfect for expats and retirees. We're heading straight to one of Italy's true gems today. We're going to take a closer look at what life is truly like in four towns often described as the lake's magic towns.
Sounds fantastic.
Close your eyes for a second and picture it. The stunning, shimmering blues of Italy's largest lake spread out before you. It's perfectly framed by rolling vineyards that stretch up the hills, ancient olive groves dotting the landscape, and then dramatically rising in the distance, the foothills of the Alps.
It's an incredible setting.
Lake Garda isn't just beautiful water. It's a vibrant crossroads nestled right there in northern Italy. It straddles both the Lombardy and Veneto regions, and that position gives each town along its shores its own unique flavor, its own rhythm, you know, its own story.
Our mission is to go through this together, extracting the most important nuggets of knowledge to give you a real sense of what day-to-day life feels like in these specific places. Bartolino, Desenzano, Lazzisi, Maltesine. We want to uncover the practical realities for anyone dreaming of calling Lake Garda home, especially if you're thinking about moving as an expat or maybe for retirement.
Yeah, digging a bit deeper.
Exactly. We're peeling back the layers beyond beautiful pictures to see what it's like to actually live there.
Okay, let's jump in. We'll start our exploration on the eastern side of the lake in Bartolino.
Okay.
This is a quieter town, immediately hinting at a more relaxed pace. It's famous, of course, for those incredible lake views, but also for being surrounded by vineyards that just feel like they're part of the town itself.
Right, integrated.
There's this overall feeling of calm and ease. The town's character really comes from its narrow, winding streets, the perfect place to get wonderfully lost, and its lively piazzas. They're the natural gathering spots, aren't they?
They really are the pulse of any Italian town. And looking at Bartolino's history, the landscape here isn't just natural beauty. It was shaped over centuries, first by Roman hands and later showing influences from Germanic roots. There's a deep history literally built into the stone and the terrain. Bartolino in particular is noted for its medieval towers and ancient fortifications, standing as silent witnesses to its long and sometimes complex past. It adds a historical weight, you know, to the picturesque setting.
That history combined with the fertile land brings us to Bartolino's incredible wine culture. Every autumn, the town absolutely comes alive for the Festa dell'Uva e del Vino, the big harvest celebration, which sounds like such a joyous time. Music, laughter, and that unmistakable heady scent of fermenting grapes filling the air. And naturally, you absolutely have to sample the local Spirito Rosé.
Yeah.
There's the simple pleasure of strolling the colorful lakeside promenades. And yes, doing it with gelato in hand.
Crucial guidance indeed. Beyond the wine and leisurely strolls, Bartolino is excellent for getting active outdoors. You can walk or cycle right along the lake, taking in those constant stunning views. Boat tours offer a different perspective, letting you see the towns and landscape from the water. Nice. And if you're looking for something more rigorous, there are beautiful hiking trails, particularly those leading through the vineyards. They offer truly breathtaking panoramic views of the entire region. It's a place that really draws you outside into its landscape.
All right, let's move west now. Traveling around the southern edge of the lake, we arrive in Desenzano del Garda.
Okay.
This is the largest town on the lake and the lake's stylish hub. That immediately suggests a different energy compared to quieter Bartolino. doesn't it? It definitely has a distinct feel. Desenzano offers a fascinating mix of history and modern energy. You'll find remnants of the past in its Roman villas and elegant Venetian arcades, but they blend seamlessly with contemporary life. Chic cafes spill onto sidewalks, and palm trees line the promenades along the water. Oh, lovely. It feels like a place that honors its history while fully embracing the present. The climate here is balmy, perfect for those oleanders and palms you see swaying gently by the lake, contributing to that stylish, almost southern Mediterranean charm.
And that blend seems to create a really lively atmosphere. It's antique markets, which sound like a treasure hunter's dream, and events like the Night of Enchantment Festival.
Yeah, it seems like there's always something going on.
There seems to be a significant buzz here, perhaps more than in some of the other towns.
So there is a definite vibrancy, but a key insight, especially for someone considering living here, is Desenzano's practical advantage. Its connectivity has excellent train links to major cities like Milan and Venice.
Okay, that's huge.
This makes Desenzano a strategic location. You get the beauty and tranquility of lakeside life, but with the sheer convenience of quick access to major urban centers and easy travel throughout Italy, it offers a level of practicality that sets it apart.
From the stylish, well-connected hub, let's continue south along the lake to Lazise.
All right.
The sources describe this town as being right at the heart of the Olive Riviera. That name alone evokes images of ancient trees and a sense of, I don't know, timeless tranquility.
It does. And Lazise is highlighted as a paradise for anyone interested in history. It was historically Italy's first free commune, a significant historical distinction.
Wow, didn't know that.
It's visually dominated by the iconic Scaliger Castle, another one of those impressive medieval fortresses around the lake, and its charming checkered piazzas. While it has this deep historical core, summer brings a series of vibrant festivals, including the Festival del Garda, a musical competition that involves towns all around the lake. So like Desenzano, it's deeply rooted in history, but also very much a lively contemporary community.
It sounds like history isn't just preserved here. It's lived alongside, like, part of the fabric.
Exactly. The picture painted is a beautiful fusion of centuries-old architecture, those evocative olive groves defining the landscape, and a strong sense of community energy. The suggestion is to simply get lost in the cobbled alleys or enjoy those lively evenings along the lakefront. It feels like a place where the past and present are seamlessly interwoven.
Okay, our final stop on this initial town tour takes us north. This town has a dramatic setting situated right at the foot of Monte Baldo that immediately suggests a different kind of appeal centered around nature and adventure.
It absolutely does. Malsicene's medieval old town is a maze of winding lanes that climb up towards its imposing Scaliger Castle.
Another Scaliger Castle.
Yes, like Lazise, it has one, but this one is particularly dramatic, perched overlooking the water and offering incredible panoramic lake views.
They offer augmented reality tours of the castle, a nice touch of modern tech bringing history to life.
Cool. And that location at the foot of Monte Baldo means outdoor activities are a huge draw here, right?
Precisely. The famous cable car runs right up Monte Baldo, opening up a world of possibilities.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
You'll see paragliders launching from the summit, hikers exploring alpine meadows high above the lake, and down on the water, windsurfers capitalizing on the strong seasonal winds the lake is known for.
So a real magnet for adventurers.
It's clearly a magnet for anyone who loves being active in a stunning natural environment. And Malsicene even has some charming local quirks. It's home to the world's shortest river, apparently.
The shortest river.
Seriously.
Local folklore includes legends of lake monsters and lost treasures, little details that add to the unique, almost magical atmosphere.
Definitely leans into the magic towns idea. So we've explored the geography, the history, and the individual vibes of these four towns. But let's get practical now. Okay, what does daily life really feel like? if you live here, beyond the beautiful scenery you see on postcards? That's the core question for potential residents, isn't it? Living in any of these towns means you're constantly surrounded by that incredible natural beauty and immersed in deep-rooted traditions. But it also means sharing your space with a mix of people, the longtime locals, of course, but also a noticeably active and growing community of expats, some digital nomads, and quite a few retirees who have chosen this area. It's a blend of different backgrounds and motivations.
One of the anchors of daily life that really comes through are the weekly markets.
Oh, yeah.
They're not just places to buy things. They're ancient traditions that still genuinely shape the rhythm of modern life in these towns.
The heart of the community, week after week, they rotate through the towns on specific days. Bardolino on Thursdays, Desenzano on Tuesdays, and so on. And they offer a fantastic array of goods. Fresh produce straight from the surrounding farms, local delicacies unique to Lombardy and Veneto, handmade crafts, clothing. They're presented as the perfect place to not only shop, but to connect with locals and feel the genuine pulse of the area.
And what about evenings? How do people wind down after the market buzz?
Evenings often mean leisurely dinners, usually accompanied by glasses of local wine. Bardolino and Lugana are mentioned as particular favorites.
That's lovely.
Conversation flows easily at cozy cafes. It's a pace of life that prioritizes slowing down, enjoying good food, and spending time with friends or family.
Someone new arriving in this community, how they might find their place and integrate, get connected.
Joining local clubs based on shared interests is a classic and effective way to meet people.
Makes sense.
Language exchanges are important, both for improving your Italian and connecting with locals. Classes like cooking or sailing are also popular ways to get involved and meet like-minded individuals.
Right, shared activities. And then there's embracing the cherished Italian concept of riposo, the afternoon break. While not a formal activity, it's a fundamental part of the rhythm here that newcomers are encouraged to adopt. It's an invitation to pause, recharge, and kind of align with the local pace.
And specifically for expats and retirees, is there an existing community?
Yes, there's already an active expat and retiree community here. That can be a significant plus for newcomers looking for connection and shared experiences from people who have already navigated the transition.
Okay, good to know.
However, a really important nuance about the fundamental rhythm of life here, something crucial for anyone considering a long-term move. It's described as having a twofold nature.
Twofold. Okay, what does that really mean for daily life?
It refers to the dramatic difference between the tourist season, roughly from spring through fall, and the off season. During the tourist season, these towns are incredibly vibrant. There are events happening constantly. The markets are buzzing. Restaurants are packed. But they can feel quite overcrowded during these peak times.
Okay, that makes sense, given the strong tourism focus. And the other side of that coin, the off-season, when the tourists go home.
That's where the contrast becomes stark. When the main tourist influx leaves, the towns can feel noticeably quiet, sometimes even like ghost towns by comparison.
Really? Ghost towns?
That's the term used. The social and cultural calendar significantly slows down. This shift is a major point for prospective residents to consider. Are you comfortable with that dramatic seasonal change in energy and activity level? Finding ways to connect and occupy yourself during the quieter months becomes important. So
the energy isn't consistent throughout the year. That's a vital insight for setting expectations. All right, let's get into the practical realities. Living expenses, infrastructure, services. We've looked at the charm. Now let's talk about the logistics.
Absolutely. Looking first at the cost of living provides some specific figures that are quite illuminating.
Okay, let's hear them.
If you're thinking about renting a two-room, which is typically a one-bedroom apartment in places like Bartolino or Desenzano, you should expect to pay somewhere in the range of 1,000 to 1,500 euro per month.
Okay. 1,000, 2,500 for a one bedroom rental. That gives a solid estimate. What about buying property?
Buying prices naturally vary significantly. Buying a similar size flat starts around 295,000 euro in Bartolino. Interestingly, a significantly lower starting point in Desenzano, around 109,000 euro. These are, of course, starting figures, and prices can go much higher depending on location and condition.
Sure. Location, location.
The overall takeaway regarding cost of living, potentially high, largely driven by tourist demand. Finding housing, particularly affordable housing, is noted as being out of reach for many, including local residents.
So the tourism that brings vibrancy also pushes up prices. What about ongoing expenses like utilities, like electricity, water?
For basic utilities for an 85 square meter apartment, the material gives an average monthly cost of around 193.23 euro. This covers the essentials like electricity, heating, water, etc. Okay, about 193 euro a month. Let's look at the local economy. The material gives a real population figure within a 5 kilometer radius, around 48,500 people, giving a sense of the broader local community.
It's a community larger than just the town centers, and the economy here is heavily, heavily reliant on tourism.
No surprise there.
Per capita income around 23,600 euro a year in 2023, and a low official unemployment rate. However, while unemployment is low, the local job market itself is described as potentially saturated due to this tourism reliance.
Ah, so lots of tourism jobs, but maybe not much else.
Pretty much. The available jobs are overwhelmingly tied to the tourism sector, and they often come with stagnant wages.
So low unemployment doesn't necessarily mean a wide range of well-paying opportunities.
Exactly. Finding year-round positions or diverse career options outside of tourism can be challenging. This leads to a key conclusion. The lifestyle is perfectly suited for retirees or those with independent income, people who aren't dependent on finding a job locally. It could be quite challenging for someone looking for long-term integration and needing to secure diverse work opportunities within the immediate area. It's a major factor for anyone relocating without passive income.
That's a really important distinction. Let's discuss infrastructure and transport. Very high score for infrastructure quality, 88 out of 100.
Yeah, it sounds pretty good.
That suggests a robust system for utilities, healthcare, and transport links.
That high score indicates a strong foundation, but a crucial caveat. While generally good, the infrastructure can struggle or be stretched thin during those peak tourist periods we discussed.
The seasonal strain again?
Exactly. This highlights the impact of the seasonal influx on resources. Looking specifically at transport, the rail connections. Near Bartolino, the closest main station mentioned is Domegliara Sant'Ambrogio, about an 18-minute drive. Okay, it primarily handles regional trains, but links to significant cities like Verona, Bolzano, Trento, Venice, and Bologna.
So getting to larger Italian cities by train is definitely feasible?
Yes. And another key connection mentioned is Peschiera del Garda station, about a 22-minute drive from some towns. This station offers a mix of high-speed and regional services connecting to major hubs like Milan, Turin, Venice, and Brescia.
Right, so you can get around.
There are accessible train options for travel around Italy. However, limitations are also listed. Local public transit within the immediate lakeside area can be limited, and traffic, especially around the lake road, can be a significant challenge during peak season.
Oh, I bet the traffic gets bad. Beyond trains, how easy is it to get around the towns? And the lake itself,
Bartolino, for example, is described as a walker's paradise, suggesting high walkability within the town center. The ferry system is a scenic way to travel between different towns on the lake. And for cyclists, there are bike paths available. So while perhaps not ideal for a public transit slash commute, there are good alternative ways to navigate locally.
Talk about healthcare. The material describes the services as adequate with a decent quality of care, giving it a score of 55.0.
That score provides a baseline, but the details add important context. There are limited specialized healthcare services directly within the immediate Lake Garda area. This is noted as a disadvantage, meaning that for specialized medical needs, residents should expect to travel
to Verona, maybe, or Brescia?
Yes, to a larger nearby cities. The nearest hospital with an emergency room is an 18-minute drive, and there are 3 hospitals or clinics within a 10-kilometer radius.
And the description of the quality of care itself, you said adequate. The material notes that healthcare services in this part of Veneto show moderate efficiency, generally meeting average national standards. On the positive side, emergency cardiac care is described as relatively efficient, and orthopedic issues like fractures are handled promptly with good post-surgery results.
That's good.
But it also notes areas for concern. Readmissions following heart attacks and heart failure are described as somewhat frequent. Seriously consider specific medical needs and the availability of specialized services before moving.
That's incredibly practical advice. Essential, really. Shifting slightly, let's cover connectivity, particularly internet speed, which is so important today, for especially for remote workers or, you know, staying in touch.
Average download speed of 49 megabits per second. It suggests this is generally reliable for standard remote work tasks.
Okay, 49 megabits per second, that's decent for many things.
It is. However, these speeds may not be sufficient for heavy remote work needs, implying tasks requiring very high bandwidth could be problematic.
It'd be good to be aware of those potential limitations. How about the climate and weather? That's usually a big draw for Italy.
Absolutely is. The climate is one of the big draws here. It's described as having mild winters and warm, sunny summers with moderate rainfall. Sounds ideal. Average temperatures. Minimum of about 1.8 degrees Celsius in January, and a maximum around 28.5 degrees Celsius in July and August.
Not too extreme either way.
This climate is presented as supporting a relaxed, steady lifestyle. The main downside is that those warm summers can also be quite humid, which isn't comfortable for everyone.
Ah, the humidity factor. Okay. Yeah. And alongside the climate, any notes on environmental factors like air quality, important for health?
Yeah, the material provides an air quality rating for Bartolino of 76, suggesting the air is generally quite clean.
76 out of 100, that's pretty good.
PM10 and PM25 are rated as fair. These are tiny, inhalable particles, so fair means mostly clean, but with some periodic presence. NO2 and SO2, which are gases often from traffic or industry, are rated good, meaning they stay within good limits. Ozone's O3 is rated fair.
So mostly good, but not perfect.
Exactly. So while generally good, the material is also lists air quality as below optimal levels in certain areas, suggesting localized issues are times when it's not ideal, despite the generally positive score.
Any other environmental or safety details mentioned, like earthquakes?
Yes, the material notes a moderate earthquake risk for the region.
Moderate risk.
It also provides the road accident rate, which is 66 per 10,000 inhabitants in 2022.
And circling back briefly to housing, the housing availability is categorize as medium.
That's correct. Not a severe shortage, but not an abundance either. It reinforces the point that finding the right place, especially given the costs, might require some effort. Okay, so we've covered the charm, the rhythms, and the practicalities. Let's try to synthesize this. What are the core advantages and disadvantages of living here?
We can sum up the key pros. The stunning lakeside location and views are top of the list, obviously. Undeniable. Along with the rich cultural heritage and historical sites, the mild climate is a significant plus. There seem to be good opportunities for integrating into the local community. The unemployment rate is low, although we discussed the nuances there. The strong tourism presence means there are plenty of amenities and services, even if they get strained seasonally. Accessible transport options make travel around Italy relatively easy. Healthcare services are adequate within the noted limitations. The vibrant local markets are a definite draw. And internet connectivity is generally reliable, with the caveat about heavy remote work.
Okay, a solid list of positives. And then the cons, the downsides.
High tourist traffic and resulting overcrowding during peak season. That came up a lot. Specialized healthcare and educational facilities require travel to larger cities. Air quality can drop below optimal levels in certain areas. Infrastructure can struggle to cope with seasonal tourist demands. The local job market is heavily reliant on tourism, making diverse job hunting tough. The high cost of living, particularly housing, is a major factor.
Those lists really underline the twofold rhythm, that significant difference between the bustling peak season and the much quieter off season. Life here really flows and ebbs with the tourist calendar.
It's a dynamic that shapes everything, from the energy in the piazzas to the availability of services. Local quirks too, like the strong seasonal winds, which are fantastic for activities like windsurfing, but something residents live with.
All right, got to deal with the winds sometimes. Now, before we wrap up this, let's quickly address education. This is obviously a big consideration for anyone moving with family.
Absolutely crucial for families. The primary insight regarding education from the material is that for families seeking international or bilingual schools, most options are located outside of the immediate lakeside towns.
Okay, so not right there on the lakefront.
Mostly not. They are mainly found in the larger nearby cities like Brescia and Verona, requiring a commute roughly 30 to 45 minutes by car from the main lake guarded towns.
Lakeside living likely means daily drive for that specific type of schooling. Are there any international schools closer to the lake itself? Any exceptions?
One specific school located right in the Cenzano. The Garda School. It's described as the only English language arts middle school in DeCenzano, noted for small classes and catering to international students. So for that specific age range and language focus, there is one option directly on the lake.
It's good to know there's at least one.
Yeah.
And the other international options are definitely in Brescia or Verona.
Yes. Includes the International School of Verona, offering IB British and Italian curricula. Also the International School of Brescia, covering ages 3 to 18. Okay. And the Lonati Anglo-American School in Brescia, described as bilingual from early years through middle school. The English International School of Padua is also listed, but it's significantly further away, generally beyond a realistic daily commute.
All right, Padua is a bit of a trek. And what about international Montessori schools? Anything mentioned there?
There are no international Montessori schools in the immediate vicinity of these Lake Garda towns.
Most international Montessori options are found in much larger cities like Milan or Bologna. So pulling the education picture together, while there is one English middle school in DeCenzano, families prioritizing international schooling, particularly for younger or older children, or a Montessori approach should definitely factor in a daily commute to Brescia or Verona. It's a significant practical consideration for family life.
Definitely something families need to weigh up. Okay, let's try and bring this all together. Can we paint a brief picture of what a potential day might look like for someone living here to sort of synthesize it?
Imagine waking up to the gentle glint of sunlight on the lake, the air potentially carrying the scent of nearby wildflowers, or maybe freshly brewed coffee from a local bar.
Nice start.
Your morning could involve a visit to the weekly market to gather fresh produce or local specialties. After that, maybe you join a local language exchange to practice your Italian, or simply find a quiet spot by the water to read or relax, perhaps with a glass of local wine, even before lunch. Why not?
Sounds like a very different pace for many people. Very appealing, though.
It is. The afternoons are perfect for long, leisurely lunches and embracing the tradition of riposo, the essential Italian pause in the day. It's a time for genuine downtime.
Leaning into the slow life.
Exactly. As the evening approaches, you might meet friends at a trattoria, settling in for a slow, enjoyable meal. And the kind of easy conversation and company that is central to the Lake Garda lifestyle.
It sounds very community focused.
There's a deep sense of community that comes through, shaped by those long-standing traditions and the continuous flow of people, both visitors and those who choose to stay. Daily life, despite the potential for seasonal crowds, can feel both vibrant and, at its core, deeply peaceful simultaneously.
A real balance, and each town adds its unique note to that experience. Bardolino with its wine culture, Lazise with its deep history, olive groves and festivals, medieval charm and mountain adventures. They all contribute something distinct to the fabric of life around Lake Garda.
Definitely distinct personalities.
Whether you're drawn by the promise of outdoor adventure, the timeless beauty of the landscape, or the hope of finding a slower, richer pace of life, making this region your home might actually entail the good and, well, the challenging.
And as you reflect on all these facets, the undeniable beauty, the practical challenges, that contrast between the peak season energy and the off-season quiet, it prompts a fascinating question, I think. If life around Lake Garda truly beats to such a strong, inherent seasonal rhythm, what does that ultimately mean for finding your own sense of steady pace and belonging within that flow?
A lot to ponder indeed. Yeah, thank you for joining us for this exploration. We hope it's given you, our listeners, a much clearer picture of life in these beautiful towns.
Thanks for listening to Magic Towns Italy. If this guide helped you, consider exploring our full series, available with a membership on magictowns.it. You'll get access to detailed town filters, AI advice, and in-depth guides to hundreds of locations across Italy. Start your journey with Magic Towns.